Blog Talk Radio.
Sherry Knowlton. I write the Alexa Williams suspense series of books, Dead of Autumn, Dead of Summer, Dead of Spring, Dead of Winter, and the latest, Dead on the Delta, which was released in February.
Hi, I'm J.M. West. I write the crime, Carlisle Crime Cases series, Dying for Vengeance, Courting Doubt and Darkness, Darkness at First Light, How to Die and Fall, Things Strangled, all featuring Carlisle homicide detectives Christopher Snow and Aaron McCoy. And my latest book, Madam Bessie Jones, Her Life and Times, has just been released, and I have a book launch this Saturday, June 5th, from 11 to 2, in the little park beside the Historical Society. It's on 19 North Pitt. So if you're going to be in the Carlisle area, stop by and get one.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Well, our books are published by Sunbury Press, and Jody and I, our books are published by Milford House, and we like to feature fellow Sunbury Press colleagues. We've featured other published authors, the Sunbury editor, and our publisher, Lawrence Knorr, about an anthology that Sunbury did. And today, we're pleased to have Joe Harvey, who's the author of a number of children's and young adult books, including From Blue Ground, If We're Really Quiet, It Won't Find Us, first in the series of Famous Last Words, and Summer Changes Everything.
Right. Our guest is a teacher, musician, and author of young adult books. He has a wife named Kara, two children, and dogs named Cinnamon Sugar. That's cute. Harvey's books focus on the lives and the concerns, frustrations of preteens and teens. Intriguing titles like If We're Really Quiet, It Won't Find Us. Harvey lures readers in. The book sounds mysterious, with animals disappearing and the creature called a howler rumored roaming around the woods near Camp Calamity. And then in his book, Summer Changes Everything, is a coming-of-age novel that explores the struggles and the many, I would say, challenges that teens face. And these are just thumbnail sketches, so we're going to come back with questions. So, and then the last one, From Blue Ground, is a little bit different, and then has a historic slant to it. And it's about a brother and sister team who are on a search for answers. So welcome to Milford House Mystery, Joe.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. I've heard a lot of good things about your podcast, and it's excellent being on today.
Thank you.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
So where should we start? Let's do this. Your book sounds very different and interesting. So let's start with genre. Can you tell us what inspired you to target the young adult audience? You're a teacher, as we've said. Does that young adult audience include your students? And, you know, just talk a little bit about the whole process of writing to a young adult audience. So I know I threw a lot of questions, sort of pick and choose whatever part of that you'd like to respond to first.
Sure. Well, when I was first started writing, I was actually teaching elementary school. I was teaching fourth grade. I was finishing up my master's degree, and I was doing a little bit of research in history, and I got really into 19th century history, basically Pennsylvania 19th century history. specifically in 1876, the Centennial Exhibition that they held in Philadelphia. And that kind of just stuck in my mind, and I thought, this is a really just a fascinating time period, especially in Pennsylvania, because not too far to the north from Philadelphia at the same time, you had the Molly Maguires who were active. And I just, that kind of stuck with me. So as I was teaching and raising my own family, I have two kids, as I said, or as you mentioned. And my son, he was more into sports. He didn't really like to read too much. And I thought, if I ever write a book, I want to write something that he's interested in, something that's fast-paced, something that's, you know, kind of a mystery. So I kind of had all these ideas, you know, swirling around in my head, given the historical, you know, information and research that I've done and teaching and, you know, getting kids interested to read. And I just started, you know, writing this story. And it really, the first part of it just came, you know, pouring out. And I fleshed out this mystery of this brother and sister, you know, team who they encounter a tragedy when their father is killed, and their father gives them this mysterious box and says, tell them to keep it safe and keep it hidden and find your uncle, basically. And they run off through the woods, being chased by some pretty bad guys, and the whole story is basically them bonding together and them unraveling this mystery of what is in this box. So, I mean, that's kind of how I kind of started writing in the beginning story, which eventually became the story From Blue Ground, which was published, uh-huh. as you mentioned, by Sunbury Press in 2015.
Wow.
So,
yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it really started there. And, you know, I writing for, you know, I had the age group in mind as I was writing. So I had to try to, you know, balance storytelling with, you know, and complex storytelling with telling it in a simplistic way that, you know, kids can understand, that students can understand. So I tried to keep, you know, in terms of the nuts and bolts of writing, I tried to keep, you know, my, you know, verbiage and syntax simple and easy to understand, but yet quick paced, that so they students would like to read it and they could get, so chapters are really short, so they feel good when they finish the chapter and they want to keep reading and things like that. So there's kind of a, you know, a strategy involved with it too.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And you had mentioned earlier from Blue Ground, you gave us the background
right.
on that one.
Yes.
I was kind of interested when I read your bio about you have developing in another series called Famous Lad's Last Words series. Do you care
yes.
to tell us something about that?
Yeah, sure. That book started when my wife and I were traveling. One spring, we drove down to Virginia Beach, and on the way, you know, my wife kind of just said something, and then she said, "Oh, famous last words," and that kind of like stuck with me. Oh, famous last words. That would be a really, really good idea for some sort of a book where, you know,
mm-hmm.
somebody would say something, and then those words would come back to haunt them in the end. You know, not necessarily. It doesn't have to be like a, you know, fatal situation. Because, you know, I write for kids, so I don't, you know, but don't want to make it too, you know, too gruesome. But so that kind of sparked an idea, and I started on the vacation. I have a notebook that I carry along with me that I started writing down just different ideas of scenarios that of different you know, different famous last words that could end up being a book. And one of them was, if we're really quiet, it won't find us. And so thinking that, it probably will, that would come back, right? And
that's scary.
So, yeah, Yeah. So, and as I said at the time, I was teaching elementary school, and I had these three particular boys in class who were just they were typical just fun loving just rambunctious boys who were just they were like the comic relief of my class. And I said to them, I'm going to put you guys in a book someday, so you better be careful. And that summer, those three boys became the main characters of this book, George, John, and Peter from my class. And so I put them into this story. And each one of them has, a different personality. Like, one's like a really, outgoing, outdoorsy type of person. The other one's a little bit bookish. The other one's kind of, comic relief. And I thought, wouldn't it be kind of interesting if they were all looking forward to going away to this summer camp, but there was something that was lurking in the woods in the summer camp. And, of course, the adults think it's a normal type of thing, like a bear or some sort of wolf. But the kids, they think it's this creature called – the horrible howler, and which is basically like a myth in the area that's a cryptid. It's like a werewolf type creature. So they decide that they're going to go off and prove whether this is a real thing or not. And so the whole story is them going through this situation. They sneak out of the camp at night and go off into the woods. And I don't want to leave, give too much away, but
right.
That's basically the scenario. And one of the main characters says, if we're really quiet, it won't find us. And it always occurs in these series of novels that I'm doing, Famous Last Words, it always comes toward the end. So you have to read, makes you want to read to figure out which character is going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the scenario there. And that book was published last summer, so yeah, it's fun. They're really fun to write, and actually when Milford House Press published it last summer, I had the three boys who are in the book. I had them over, and the local paper did a story about them and about being put in a book. They're all in middle school now, so it was really great to meet with them, and it's really great to see kids get excited about reading and I actually took them along with me in the book writing process. I sent them manuscripts of the book. They gave me their feedback on the book. They helped me pick the cover of the book. So it was
really
kind of neat to get them really neat to get them involved along the way, I said to them last summer, this is an excuse for us to, to stay in touch with each other. So that's the that's the Famous Last Words book. So,
are you working on another one?
Sounds like a great book, but also it's a great story or series of stories, mm-hmm. really, of what went into it. I guess being a teacher, you're really still in touch with all that kid stuff. I remember when I was a kid, there were like creatures in the woods. I can't remember what there was a woman that hung from trees near our near
right,
one place
right.
we. Well, let's talk about one of your other more recent books too. Summer Changes Everything, and mm-hmm. that sounds like it's slightly different than some of the earlier two that you've described, because it's called in the synopsis a coming of age novel. It's about a talented but troubled kid who gets in trouble a lot.
So Summer Changes Everything. It's different from the other two books in that the other two books were really like older elementary and maybe middle school age books. This is more of a young adult book, high school age, and up book, because it does deal with some some challenging and issues that the main character Dylan goes through. And I actually started writing that book. That was my second book that I started writing, and it's based off of a town not far from you guys, north of you guys, where I grew up, called Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. I wanted to write this story about small town life, and I wanted to write a story about, you know, a kid from the city who's basically forced to go live in with his grandparents for the summer, and he hates it in the beginning, but it ends up really changing his life because he's, you know, he experiences a life in a different way than he normally is experienced, and he kind of really works out his troubles and so that book, it's kind of funny because my first book, From Blue Ground, it took a lot of historical research, and I said to myself, I'm just so, you know, tired of doing all this research. I just want to be able to just sit down and write something. So I just started writing this book. Well, of course, you know, as you two being authors, it never turns out that way, because in the story, Dylan, the main character, is a skateboarder, and I know nothing about skateboarding, so I had to do all this. I had to do all this research.
This research,
yeah, more research of learning how to skateboard and the tricks that he does, and you know, I went, you know, watching skateboarders, and it was a good idea in terms of, you know, when I first started, in terms of not doing research, but I ended up having to do research anyway. But I wanted to write it because, you know, kids today and young people today, you know, they're faced with a lot of challenges that, you know, we weren't faced, you know, growing up. And then there's a lot of pressure, a lot of, you know, different types of things they have to deal with, from, you know, mainly from, like, you know, divorce or from, you know, loss. And I kind of wanted to write something that has someone trying to deal with a loss, and Dylan in the story is basically mourning or trying to get over the breakup of his parents' marriage. So I kind of structured it to where each chapter or each section of the book goes through one of the seven stages of grief. So you can see like him going through all these, you know, different emotions throughout the book, and really, it's this coming of age story. What changes him is that he meets a girl, of course, and she basically puts hope back into his life. So in the end, he has a change of heart, and I really enjoyed writing the book. It's a different type of book than my other two books, but it was really, you know, great taking that journey along with Dylan, the main character in the book. And it was good to think about and reminisce about the places in my own hometown that I traversed in my own youth.
So yeah, you have a line. You have a. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
Okay. Yeah, I'm finished.
Okay. Yeah, you have a line that reads, "As sure as the seasons dissolve from one into the next, things will change. But that doesn't have to be a bad thing." That distills in an excellent sentence how many find change distressing. You know, a change of scenery, a change in schedule, a change in habits. So what can you share with us that about the old demons that reemerge? Or is that a spoiler?
Oh, no.
As his grandfather.
Right.
No? Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Like, you know, in this particular book, you know, Dylan is experiencing a lot of change that's going along with his parents breaking up, and that stems from basically his father's alcoholism and his father's drinking. And Dylan is in the book, he finds himself drinking and participating in some underage drinking, and doing that as a kind of a as a way to rebel. And he does when he in the story when he meets the girl who becomes his first love, and she kind of helps him through that. But eventually, he has a relapse, and those old demons emerge, and he almost throws away everything that he worked for over the summer, you know, by reverting to his own old self. But I really, you know, liked, you know, the idea of trying to teach that, you know, life is about change, and kids are really afraid of change. I've found they really, mm-hmm. kids really like structure, you know, they like mm-hmm. routine, and when things aren't routine, and I think all of us are that way to some extent, it really upsets, you know, them, and it can really throw your life into turmoil. But if we can, you know, accept that, you know, life changes, and those changes aren't always bad. They might be rocky, but in the end, usually, you know, things come out, you know, okay. It's just a matter of how you can handle it, of course. So I really liked exploring that. You know, it's like, you know, somebody, you know, once compared it to, you know, you know, when you go through, you know, like a birth of a child, right? I mean, there's birth mm-hmm. of a child. There's a lot of pain. From what my wife tells me, there's a lot of pain involved in that. But in the end, it's beautiful in the end, right? So, you know, sometimes when you know this whole birthing process, you can, you know, you can compare that to a lot of different things. You know, the pain won't last forever. There's always, you know, something beautiful at the other side.
Yeah, well, no, that sounds like a nice way to give young people a perspective on all the angst that they
right,
experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe I'm just thinking of my teenage years. But,
yeah.
You know, we've talked a little bit at the beginning about your first book, From Blue Ground.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that, and you explain why you said it in 1876.
Right.
Is there anything more about the book that you'd like to mention about that book, since it was your first foray into being an author?
I think as far as the writing process go, I learned a lot, you know, about how to be a writer, what it means to be a writer by you know, working on that book, and mainly like my own process. Like I found like what works for me. But it's such a fascinating time period to write about. But I found that for me, what I learned was that I needed to really sit down and flesh out like the whole story, you know, sit down and really flesh it out before I start writing it. Because there was a time when I was writing that book that I guess I got writer's block or whatever, but whatever you want to call it. Basically, I got my main character stuck in a room, and the main character was stuck in a room for months in my time, like months or a couple. I couldn't figure out where I was going with it. I'm like, okay, you got him stuck in this room. Like, now what are you going to do? You know? And so I had to really think about, you know, what's the story here? You know, what is the line here? And then I got him out of the room by going back to the research and looking at what was going on at the time in Pennsylvania. And I got looking at, you know, and reading about the Molly Maguires and the Pinkerton Detective Agency and Pinkerton agents infiltrating the Molly Maguires. And it really, in that book, the research and the history really, I let that guide the story speak. I mean, so it's really a mixture of things that are true and not true. One of the main villains in the story is James McFarland, who was the Pinkerton detective agent who infiltrated the Molly Maguires. And at the time, you know, they thought he was a good guy, but looking back at history, they're saying that he probably wasn't as really a good guy. He really framed a lot of these Molly Maguires. And not too far from here is in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, is where they hung a lot of the Molly Maguires, and many of them they found were, you know, were set up basically by James McParland. So, and you know, that led to some pardons years later. But so there was many of the characters in the book, Gowan, who's the president of the Philadelphia and Reading Railroad. He is in the book. And one of the main, I turned him into a main villain, although I don't think he was as much of a villain as, you know, James McParland. But so I kind of let history guide me on that and try to get me out of my writer's block and my trouble. So I found a lot about learned a lot about my personal writing and how I should, you know, go forward with writing. I'm sure you both have a process that you go through too. So I found that out with my first book.
Well, actually, that's a good idea to find it out early, you know, rather
yeah.
than later.
Yeah.
And we all go through those kinds of things too. So I'm assuming, you know, from your description of From Blue Ground, that the three items or in that the little box that they was mm-hmm. that they found that was their dad's has significance, right?
Right. Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Each have some significance, but you can't tell that's because that'd be a spoiler, right?
Yeah, it's based. Well, I can tell because it's in the title of the book. But basically, it's something that comes out of the ground. So it's something precious that comes out of the ground. So you could probably assume that it's some sort of, you know, precious gem. But it's this the mystery
okay.
of why it came out of this blue ground is what they have to find. And incidentally, I am working on a sequel to that book, based on the characters. It actually occurs 30 years later. The two kids in the story are grown up, so it deals with them and their and two other kids in the book. So that's one of the things I'll be working on this summer. I do a lot of my writing, of course, in the summer. So, and I'm also halfway through the second book in the series of Famous Last Words. This book is titled "What's the Worst Thing That Could Happen." That's the title of the second book in the series, Famous Last Words. And and all three boys in the first book will be making a reappearance in the second book. So I'm going to be working on that this summer as well. Lots of plans for the summer.
Well, that's pretty great. I guess we're starting to run out of time. Do you have any comments? Well, I guess we're going to ask you, you know, what are you working on? You really just answered that. But why don't you tell us about your website or where readers can get your book, you know, some information on how to get in touch with you and follow up on these books that you've talked about.
Yeah, you could. I have a website. It's joeharvey.net. Or also, I'm on Facebook. You can find me. I think the Facebook is actually called Joe Paperback. But if you do a search for Joe Harvey, I am getting excited that things are starting to come back to normal, so I can start doing author events again. I've done a lot of author visits at elementary schools and middle schools, and would really love to get back doing that again, and at local libraries and stuff. So I'm excited to get back out and do that. But before we end things, I just want to thank both of you. It's great talking to you again. We've run into each other several times over the years, and I really appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Well, and thank you for coming onto the show. We've enjoyed your sharing, you know, your information about your books. And a reminder
to
all your readers. Yeah, sure. A reminder to all your readers and listeners out there, All of our books are available at Sunbury Press's online bookstore, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online retailers and bookstores. And special thanks to all you listening to the Milford House Mysteries. We hope you enjoyed our program. Our next podcast will be on July 22nd. That's next month. And when Sherry will interview me about my new historical book, Madam Bessie Jones.
So that'll be
exciting. That's at 2:30. I wanted to say at 2:30. I forgot 2:30.
Oh, okay. July 22nd at 2:30, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, and in the meantime, since we're taking a couple weeks break here, you can listen to some of our previous podcasts that you may have missed. Just search Milford House Mysteries on the BookSpeak Network. Please also follow us on social media. I'm on the web at www.sherrynolton.com and Facebook and Twitter.
I'm on facebook.com/ Carlisle Crime Cases by J.M. West. And you can look for my new book cover on my Facebook page. And my website is www.carlislecrimecases.com. So thanks again, Joe, for meeting and talking to us. And until next time.
Yes, thank you, Joe. We'll talk to all the rest of you in a few weeks. Thanks for tuning in.